Hello and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching once a week. If this is the first episode of mine that you stumble upon and you enjoy it, please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts so you can get updated when I upload a new episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. This episode will probably be shorter than normal. I'm only talking about Yellow Jacket, so I don't know. I've been, for the last few weeks, my episodes have been half Traitors, half Yellow Jackets, and the Yellow Jackets portions have ranged from like 30 minutes to 45 minutes of me talking about Yellow Jackets. So to be honest, I don't know how long. My goal is to talk for like an hour at least and then try to not edit it down a ton. I don't know. I'm going to try to not make this super short. I am currently working on a deep dive recap of School Spirit Season 2. My goal is to get that out less than a week from when this comes out, because my release schedule as of right now, I'm releasing Yellow Jackets recaps on Wednesdays, occasionally on a Thursday, but my goal is to have the Yellow Jackets recaps on Wednesdays. So I'm going to try to get the School Spirits recap out before next Wednesday. So hopefully there'll be kind of like two episodes in a week to make up for the fact that this one might be a little bit shorter, but I don't know, because the next one will probably be shorter. I'm gonna try to just like, I think also because I was recapping the Traitors while talking about Yellow Jackets, I think part of like, I think I'm just gonna give myself kind of like an hour of uninterrupted time to talk about Yellow Jackets, and hopefully I think I should have enough to say. I'm just worried that I'll get to a point where I'm like, I have nothing else to say and the episode's gonna be really short. But if this is the first Yellow Jackets episode of mine that you're tuning into, I have been talking about each episode as it's airing. I'm not recapping it in the like, this happened and then this happened and this happened. I'm kind of just like stream of consciousness, kind of talking about different dynamics each episode and diving into my thoughts on like certain dynamics, certain scenes, certain characters. I'm just sharing my thoughts weekly as the episodes progress because I wanted to track my opinion of the season in real time. But when the season is out as a whole, I will be like recapping it, going scene by scene, sharing plot points, tracking the narrative arc. For the weekly Yellow Jackets episodes I'm doing, I'm just kind of sharing my thoughts immediately after the episodes. Well, not immediately, because the episodes come out on, I watch them on Thursdays because I live on the East Coast. I live on the West Coast. I don't live on the East Coast. I live on the West Coast. So the episodes come out like Thursday night for me. I watch them Thursday. I let myself digest them for a little bit and then I rewatch the episode. So anyways, I'm just going to jump straight into the Yellow Jackets episode. Hopefully I can yap for an hour, but apologies if this episode is shorter. I will try not to cut out too much. I honestly, I don't know. We'll see. School Spirits deep dive coming soon. I do want to say, if you have any recommendations or requests for shows for me to recap. Wait, okay. Before I jump into Yellow Jackets, actually, you know what? I'll do that at the end if I feel like I'm going to try to dedicate the whole episode to Yellow Jackets, but if I feel like I have some more space to fill, maybe I'll talk a little bit about The Bachelor at the end. But I don't know, because I kind of want to share my thoughts after the finale, because right now I'm just kind of like, I don't know. The one thing I will say about The Bachelor really briefly, this isn't going to be its own section. I'll just include it with the introduction part. I have to say, I really feel for people on reality TV, especially a show like The Bachelor, because imagine, regardless of who Grant picks at the end, it must be such a like very, very difficult experience to watch the person that you're like, that you fell in love with and either didn't end up with, like watch your relationship unfold and then end, or to watch the person that you're currently engaged to, if they did get engaged and they're still together, talk about how difficult it was to do. Like, I always like, that must be such a mind fuck in a way that I have like so much compassion for the people on the show. I'm like, it seems so difficult. And I also think like, I don't know, if I was on the show, I would try to be like, it's an edited show. While yes, this is real, they're trying to make it as dramatic and as interesting for the viewers as possible. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, like, I feel like it would be hard not to take it personally, because it's literally like your life and your love story, or like your heartbreak or whatever route it went for you. It's like a real thing that you experienced, but it's being portrayed in a, like, I don't know. That's such a mind fuck. And I think especially, like, obviously every game, every show that you're on has its challenges and its complications. I think there's something so emotionally difficult about a show like The Bachelor when the prize, quote unquote, at the end is like love in a relationship. And like, if you lose, you get heartbroken and maybe you can go on to be the bachelorette, which could propel you forward to, I mean, there's not even a bachelorette this year though. So whoever ends up heartbroken just got screwed over. Anyways, sorry for rambling. Jumping in to Yellow Jackets. Okay, so I'm going to do the adult timeline first and then I'll end with the teen timeline. The episode opens with like Jeff with Shauna pulling in to her house because she's been gone for like a day or something. And Jeff's like, where have you been? And she realizes she hasn't told Callie or Jeff that Lottie's dead. So she's like, Lottie's been murdered. Callie overhears. Callie's really upset. Callie tells Shauna about this tape. And Shauna's like, they're trying to kill us. We have to run away. A lot of interesting things. I'm glad that the tape came up again. I was so interested by this storyline. I said a few episodes ago that like I was a little bit annoyed about Lottie's death because it felt like the main mystery of the season was going to be like who's blackmailing them, and now it seems like, oh, it's going to be who killed Lottie, and I just didn't like the direction that the season was going. And I will say I am enjoying the episodes. I think, okay, I really like Yellow Jackets. It's my favorite show, and I try to watch it with, like, a level of understanding. Like, I try to watch most shows with, like, I don't have to like what happens, but if I think it's interesting, then, like, there are, when a character you really care about dies, it's difficult, but I think the hardest part for me about Lottie's death, was not that Lottie was dead. It was the way it happened and the way I feared the season was going to go, and like, and I still have some reservations and I'm still not like happy that they killed Lottie off. I would have personally preferred the story to go a different way, of course, but I think I am coming around a little bit more to like how things are going to unfold. It still feels like Lottie's death is like a B plot in a way that I don't really love, but I'm less disillusioned about the trajectory of the season. This episode was like phenomenal. I loved it. Probably one of my favorite episodes of the series so far. Like I really, really loved it. It was like such a good episode. But anyways, I'm excited. I'm glad that the tape came up again. I kind of, when we saw the tape in the promos, I thought Callie would have listened to it by now, but I guess it makes sense that she doesn't know how to listen to it. I liked the detail that it was like some kind of, like, I don't know anything about this kind of technology, okay? But like, it was some kind of tape that like not even Shauna had access to. Like, it wasn't a regular cassette tape. It was a DAT tape. I liked that detail. I will be honest. I don't know anything about old technology. The most I know is about film cameras because I take film photography and sorry for the random tangent, but I got a film camera from the 90s at a flea market. And it has a quartz state, which is like, if you've seen sometimes film cameras, they have like that little date. It has like the date in the corner. And the camera is set to like 1998. I can't figure out how to change it. I thought it was going to be stuck on because when I put the battery in the camera, it had January 1st, 1998. And I thought it was just going to be stuck on January 1st, 1998. But it wasn't. It's been moving forward. The days have been moving. I don't know how to change it, but it's like the days have been moving forward. Still like January of 1998. But I like it because they get rescued in 1998 in the Yellow Jackets. So I'm like, if I have to take a film photo of me in my Yellow Jackets varsity jacket. Anyways, sorry for rambling. So I'm going to talk about the Shauna DAT tape storyline. Then I'll talk about Walter, Misty, and that whole, because they're kind of two different storylines right now. Misty's trying to figure out what happened to Lottie, and Shauna's kind of dealing with the tape. So I'm going to talk about the tape stuff first, and then I'll get to Misty. So Shauna, Jeff, and Callie go to the Jolly Hitcher, which apparently is the only getaway in this town. I think that's so funny. They're like, let's get away. And like, you couldn't have gone into like New York City. Like, you're in New Jersey. The only place you can go is the Jolly Hitcher. I guess you want to be like a decent driving distance. It's just funny to me. Everything happens at this motel. But Shauna calls Ty to like reach Van because she's not friends with Van like that. And I like that detail because we've seen Shauna and Ty's friendship throughout the years, like from the teen timeline all the way up until the adult timeline. Like, I've always really loved Thaisa and Shauna's relationship. And it was so nice. Like, it was a fun detail to me of, and I saw in some interview that the cast did where it was like, what is the dynamic you would want to explore more or something like that? And I'm pretty sure Shauna, I like Sophie and Elise was like, me and Van don't really interact. Like, it's just kind of like, oh, you're, and I like that detail because when I saw this scene, I thought of that of like, oh, they're not really friends. It's just kind of like Van's, Thais's girlfriend. I liked that detail. But anyways, Shauna tells Van that she has a tape. It has a D8. It has the letters DAT on it. And she's like, dat tape. Like, yeah, I can get it. And she's like, you need to bring it to the Jolly Hitcher. They're at like a hotel. Ty and Van are. Van gets off the phone. A bunch of room service comes in. And Ty ordered a bunch of meat. She ordered a filet mignon. She ordered lobster, which, like, I don't know, she could have been a pescatarian, okay? A lot of people eat like lobster, and also a bacon cheeseburger. And I took note of this immediately because Ty is a vegetarian. In season one, she's at some event for fundraising, like, to try to get somebody, to try to, you know, get backing for her campaign. There's that whole scene where the person who she's trying to get money from is trying to figure out what happened out there. Anyways, she, at this fundraiser thing, she takes a bite of, like, an appetizer that's passing by, and it has meat, she doesn't eat meat. I remember this vividly because she eats meat, and she starts, like, hearing a wolf, and there's a lot of, like, you know, triggers. She does not eat meat. So when she just very confidently orders meat, I was like, okay, other Ty is here. Other Ty is in the room with us. This is not Thaisa. She's a vegetarian. Does Van know she's a vegetarian? I imagine she became a vegetarian after Van and her broke up in the teen timeline. That's something I'm really interested about, not to go on another tangent, but like things I really want to see post-rescue. I really want to see how Jeff and Shauna got back together, how that whole thing happened, how Ty and Van ended up breaking up. I'm really interested in that. So I don't know. Anyways, let me keep going. Van is concerned about like Ty's demeanor. She's like, Lottie's dead. Shauna's freaking out. You seem completely fine. Again, it's other Ty. It's other Ty. You know, Van is a character I find really fascinating because I'm like, I'm really confused about Van's perspective on, like, I don't understand, like, what is going through Van's head? Because last season we saw, like, does Van knows that Ty in the adult timeline has been sleepwalking again? That was something that came up season two. So why is that, like, seemingly not something that's present? Or maybe is it, but she's like Van is just very interesting to me, like her whole approach to Ty, because Ty's like very clearly being like, I hear the wilderness and it hears me, and like very much not acting like herself. And Van is seemingly hesitant and concerned, and also like not concerned enough in my opinion, not to judge her. Like, I'm not saying, oh, she should be, maybe she doesn't realize it, but I just, again, I'm a viewer, there are characters in a story. It's always easier to be like, how do you not notice it's other Ty? But like, I don't know. I don't know. There are a few things where I'm like, is she not concerned? And even then she expresses concern. And like, the thing is, it's hard for me because it's like, I can't tell if this is just like, I can't tell what this is. Like, I can't tell if it's on purpose or if it just feels like they're not fleshing Van's character out enough. Because it's like, what do you mean all these things happen, But then Thaisa is like, hey, I'm overwhelmed. The love of my life is battling cancer. I'm like, just, you know, like she gives like a defense and it seems to win Van over enough. Like it's weird because Van seems like on board, but also not on board. I don't understand Van. And I say this with no malice in my, no hate in my heart. I just don't understand Van. Like, I think there are some characters. The thing I love about Yellow Jackets is I really feel like there is a character for everybody to resonate to. And there are just some characters who, like, maybe it's a level of projection, okay? Maybe I don't actually understand the character and I'm just projecting my own intentions onto them. But there are characters that I feel like their reactions to things make sense to me. And Van is a character who I just like, specifically in the adult timeline, and maybe that has something to do with us not having enough information about Van in the adult timeline. I don't understand her thought process with Ty. I don't, because it seems, and maybe that's the point. Maybe she's meant to be conflicted and like fighting the desire to connect to the wilderness. I don't know. Van is a very interesting character to me, and I'm confused. Anyways, sorry for rambling. But Van tells Ty that Sean is freaking out about tapes, and then Ty's like, who even uses DAT tapes anymore? And Van says, from my experience, garage bands, super intense birders, and then she kind of trails off. And when I was watching this episode, I was watching with my sister, and I said, oh my god, Melissa is a birder. And she had the realization that it's adult Melissa blackmailing them. Because obviously we don't know yet if Hillary Swank is playing adult Melissa, but that's like been theorized. And at this point, I think it probably is adult Melissa. It might not be. Like, the thing is, I will say, after this episode, I was like, maybe it's not adult Melissa. But I don't know. Part of me feels like it has to be. I don't really know. I'll figure it out. I don't know. But, like, at this point in my mind, I've accepted that adult Melissa is gonna happen. Because I think if I convince myself, there's no way adult Melissa's, like, it's the last survivor is adult Melissa. If Melissa is the last survivor, I'm gonna be angry. And I don't want to be angry. So I've just accepted it. And I'll see how it happens instead of preemptively being upset about it. Because I realized that I was so upset about Melissa and Shauna's dynamic because I was preemptively upset that they had Melissa be the eighth survivor when they just killed off Lottie. And then I was like, why am I upset? Why am I upset? I'm upset preemptively when I haven't even seen how the story is going to happen. Who knows? Plus, just because Hillary Swank, even if she is adult Melissa, that doesn't mean that she's going to be, like, another, like, recurring character the way that Lottie was, you know? Like, I was frustrated at the prospect of adult Melissa because I'm like, what is there to flesh out? We could have had so much more with Lottie. But the reality is that I don't feel like if they bring adult Melissa in, they're going to flesh her out the way they fleshed out adult Lottie. So I'm trying not to be like, oh, wait, because there's no need to do that. Anyways, sorry for rambling. So I joked that Melissa is a birder. So she was like, oh, it has to be Melissa. I don't think that's it at all, but it made me laugh at the time. Melissa was super into bird watching. So that made her realize that it has to be Melissa. anyways, I think that there was probably a third thing that she thought of. And I think it has to do with what we find out is on the tape later. I don't think that it had anything to do with birders, but it would be really funny. And the reason I will say, because not to jump ahead of myself, okay? But the episode ends. I'm assuming you've watched it if you're tuning in. The episode ends with these outsiders stumbling upon them. And at first I was like, oh, are they bird watchers? Are they hikers? Hikers, bird watchers, who knows? In interviews, the writers have talked about their frog scientists, I think. Maybe not scientists, like frog researchers. I don't know. Something about research, which makes a lot of sense because I was like, I will be honest, when I saw the ending, I was like, how are there hikers here? Like they went all around, like they would have found people or trails. And I don't think it's that. I think it was probably something like they dropped them off. It makes more sense that there's some kind of like, they were dropped off via like airplane or helicopter or something. And then they're gonna, like, I don't think it's like they were in a town close enough that they walked there. But they are frog researchers, so I don't think it has anything to do with birders. But at first I was like, oh, they're bird watchers. They're some kind of bird researchers. I definitely thought the bird, the really intense birders was going to come up. It would be funny if it still did, but I don't think so. I think it was just meant to be like, and I think it's funny too, because if she had said like, really intense birders and then garage bands, and she had trailed off after garage bands, I don't think anybody would have, maybe some people would have, but like the garage bands, because it came first, was kind of a forgotten comment. But the birders was like, did she remember that somebody's a birder? It's like, I think it was like a third thing that she thought of that she didn't say out loud. But anyways, it was really funny. Let me move on. Van is looking through her stuff to find the player for the DAT tape. There's a phone that rings, and she picks up the phone, and it's Thaisa's voice on the other line. And this was so creepy. This was so creepy. Van and Ty go to the Jolly Hitcher with the DAT tape player. They play the recording in the parking lot, and before, as she's leaving, go listen to the tape. Callie sneaks her phone into Shauna's bag to have it recording. She's smart. Like that. Anyways, we hear them play the tape, and we don't hear all of it. We hear like the beginning, which sounds, it's like a woman's voice saying testing, testing, who I now believe logically, I think it's probably Ashley Sutton's character, the female hiker, if you will, researcher, frog scientist, whatever her vocation is. I don't know. I think it's probably her testing it out. But anyways, we hear like the end of the call. Late, we hear the end of the recording later. It's like screaming, yelling, no. And they turn it off, and Van says the line from the promos that I've mentioned many times, the only people who know about this are either us or dead. Then Shauna realizes that Callie had been recording her. She deletes it. We also notice, I'm pretty sure, I should have written down the exact amount of time, but the amount of time that Callie, that the recording was before Shauna deleted it, it was long. Like, it wasn't like a 10, I think it was like 45 minutes. And in theory, they could have not listened to the whole tape. And I don't know anything about, like, I have to be honest, I guess cassette tapes, like, it would make sense if it's like an hour long, right? I don't know anything. I'm so sorry if you're like a millennial listening to this and you're like, or maybe it's not millennial. Whatever generation you're in, that used those tapes, I'm so sorry. But I feel like it's possible that they'd be like long, right? It's not like they'd have to be short or anything. But I'm pretty sure the voice memo recording that Callie had on her phone that Shauna deleted, it was like 45 minutes. It was a long recording. Shauna realizes that. She leaves the car in a panic. And Shauna and Callie have a conversation about this, about her recording. And I loved this scene. And I've said in this podcast that I was not a huge Callie fan. I wasn't against, like, I had nothing against her, but she just wasn't a character that I was particularly drawn to her storylines. I mean, in my defense, last season, one of the main storylines was that she was, like, dating this cop. Like, that was just unpleasant to watch because, like, fuck that cop guy. One, because he's a cop. And two, because he was like a grown man romancing a teenager. Like, yes, he was pretending. They never did anything, whatever. But he was like leading her on to get information about her mother. Fucked up. Fucked up. Okay. I hated that guy. So like in my defense, Callie's storyline last season kind of sucked. And season one was kind of like, I don't know. I think she's had a very interesting storyline this season that she hasn't really had before. I really like this though, because Shauna says, you're a child. And Callie says, I'm the same age you are. Loved this so much. I think Callie is such an interesting character because of this fact. I mean, the only children of the survivors that we know of are Sammy and Callie. And Callie's the age that they were. Sammy's still a child. I mean, Callie's a child too, but like there's just a different relationship that you have. Like Callie's just such a unique character in terms of the relationship she has to the trauma they had out there because of her age, because of the fact that she is not just Shauna's child, but Jeff's child. And obviously, Shauna and Jeff's relationship had a huge domino effect and a huge impact on everything that happened in the wilderness, because she was pregnant, her fight with Jackie, Jackie's death. Jackie was the first time they ate somebody. Like, everything is connected. And Callie is like a literal manifestation of this relationship she had with Jeff, which was so intertwined with everything that happened out there, even in the ways that it wasn't. Like, even though he wasn't there, he is so important because a part of him was there, in a sense, you know? If Shauna and Jeff had never been in any kind of relationship, everything in the wilderness would have happened completely differently. Would Jackie have survived? Probably not. Sorry. But, I mean, maybe she would have, actually. I don't know. It's hard to say, because it's like, would they... When they ate Jackie, that was like a turning point. It wasn't intentional. They weren't like, we're gonna, like, they were so hungry. Like, you know what I mean? Jackie's death and them eating her was a huge turning point. So if Jackie had never died in the way she did, because Jeff and Shauna weren't in a relationship, like, it's like a huge domino effect. Everything is connected. So Callie is really, really interesting in that regard. And it's especially powerful that she's the age that Shauna was, because I think it's such an important realization for Shauna, like, how young she was. I think when you experience some kind of, like, when you experience a trauma, it really hits you when you, at least for me, I don't want to speak for everybody, but it is really powerful when you see somebody, like, the older I get, the more I realize how young I was when certain things happened to me. And it, like, makes you really sad for your past self. And again, and I, anytime I talk about, like, trying to understand the Yellow Jackets from the lens of trauma and including my own experiences, obviously I've not gone through like a fraction of what they've gone through. I'm not trying to compare myself to them, but it is really emotional when you realize how young you were when certain things happened to you. And I can't imagine, as an adult, like, realizing how young you were when you had to see that many people die, be responsible for people dying. Everything Shauna went through in the wilderness is absolutely, like, unimaginable. I just loved this scene, and I'm really, really loving Callie this season and the role that Callie's playing this season. Also, I really, really loved that Shauna did not realize that when you delete something, it goes to recently deleted and you have to delete it twice. So Callie still has access to it, and I'm excited to see Callie's reaction to the recording, which I hope we will eventually see. Before I jump into Misty and Walter and Lottie's death, one last thing about Ty and Van. There is a moment where they are in bed, Ty and Van, and Ty, like, wakes up in her sleep and is, like, begging. She's like, Van, please help me. And it's, like, my perspective, but I think this is probably, I don't know anybody who would disagree with this interpretation. Sometimes I say things and I'm like, I guess not everybody agrees with this interpretation. Like, okay, really quick tangent. But, like, I make a lot of TikToks about Yellow Jackets, and in one of them I was like, I don't really think any of the Yellow Jackets are, like, particularly evil. And somebody was like, but it's written in the show. In the comments, somebody was like, it's written in the show that some of them have more capacity for evil. Like, when Lottie says, it's already in you, to Shauna. And I was like, I always read that as Lottie, like, saying it's already in you about Shauna being pregnant and the life and how that was connected to the wilderness. I never interpreted that as, like, Lottie saying it's already in you, like, the capacity for evil. So people just interpret things differently sometimes. So from my perspective, this was very clearly other Ty, or real Ty, trying to beg through. I've never seen the show Severance, but isn't that something about, like, your innie and your outie? It felt like Ty's innie was begging to come out or whatever. Sorry if I butchered that. So sorry to the Severance fans. Severance seems like genuinely an interesting show that I would watch, but I simply do not want to pay for Apple TV. I don't. And I can't get a free trial because I already had a free trial, which I then ended up paying, which then I extended and actually paid for a little while, because I really wanted to watch The Morning Show, which I did enjoy The Morning Show. But I just, like, I can't bring myself to pay for another, especially because I just got Peacock for The Traitors. Maybe eventually. But Severance seems like an interesting show, okay? Nothing against it. I just simply, Anyways, Pi is begging to come out. And this is kind of what I was trying to say before, is like, how is Van not concerned? Hopefully she is. I do think eventually Van will do something. And I think that might lead to her death. I don't know. We'll see how the Ty-Van dynamic happens. I think Van's going to die this season. I don't think Ty's going to die anytime soon. I don't think so. I would like to see some kind of, like, will other Ty die eventually? I feel so bad for Ty, though, low-key. Like, what do you mean Van's back in her life? She has limited time. And then there's, like, a demon possessing her body. Save Ty. It's not her fault. She's possessed. I do genuinely, as somebody who is very much in the, it's not supernatural, it's the human mind and descending into insanity. Like, that's how I read the show. And like, there are like tangible explanations for things. I will say, as much as I fall in that camp, I do think other Ty is supernatural. I think she's like possessed. There's some kind of demon. I don't know. Mostly because, I mean, I don't know. The actress has said that she's not playing it like it's DID. I think like maybe there's some version of like it's repressed trauma, but I do think just like an other state, like a dissociative state, it can become like dangerous if you're not, if you didn't go into it being like this character has this diagnosed disorder, and then you're like you know what I mean, if it was later to be revealed, oh, she just has this dissociative disorder, it might be offensive. Like, Lottie was written to have schizophrenia, so like the actresses were able to play with that in mind and be aware of that, whereas if you're playing a character and there's like some kind of unexplained thing that's happening to them, and then after it's like, oh, they're mentally ill, then you can veer into very dangerous territory of like you were not playing it like with that in mind, or like, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I think she's possessed, and I think we need to exercise other Ty. You know what I would like to find out about other Ty, though, is if it is some kind of demon possession, when did it start? Is the man with no eyes connected? Because I don't know why I said connected like that. Because the man with no eyes has been connected to other Ty in the past. We've seen, like, when she's sleepwalking, she sees the man with no eyes and she follows him. But if the man with no eyes was, like, somebody from an ice cream commercial, maybe that's not true. Maybe that was something she saw to rationalize. I don't know. If it is a demon, how did it possess her? And when does it choose? I have a lot of questions about other Ty. We'll figure it out eventually. Is it like the environment? Were there times in Ty's life when other Ty took over that she didn't even realize it? How long was other Ty present? Like, I've seen people say that they think that other Ty was the one who broke Allie's leg in the pilot. Maybe. But my question would then be like, how long has other Ty been with us? I don't know why I said it like that. But it's like, was other Ty from the moment that Ty's grandma died and she started seeing the man with no eyes, like, was other Ty present then? I have so many questions about other Ty. But anyways, on to the Misty section. So Misty is very much trying to figure out what happened to Lottie. She takes some DNA that she got from Lottie's fingernails that we saw last episode to some guy she knows, Carl, who is clearly in love with her, but she's not engaged. Which I don't blame him. I get it, Carl. I really do. But anyways, that's some DNA that she does get the results to that at the end of the episode. But like, nothing definitive because she doesn't have anybody's like DNA to compare it to. Anyways, Walter is like trying to contact Misty. She does not want to be involved at all with him. She's like, this is my investigation. He drops Lottie's trash off with her. Misty looks through Lottie's trash and finds a container thing for bamboo Chinese. She looks up this restaurant and she's like, why would Lottie eat here? They have no vegetarian options, bad ratings, bad reviews. She goes to the restaurant and she finds that Lisa from the cult works there as a delivery person. So she goes up to Lisa. They have a conversation. I loved seeing Lisa again. Also, she looked gorgeous. Like, I will say, I think the purple suited her when she was in the cult, but I really liked Lisa's whole vibe this episode. I'm like, I love Lisa. It was good to see Lisa again. Lisa and Misty have a really interesting conversation. It's nice. It's, like, interesting to see her out of the cult being like, yeah, it was a cult and it ruined my life. Lottie gave her $50,000 as like a tip the last time she saw her and said that she was sorry. Actually, I think she left it. I should have written down exactly, but what Lisa said, but I think she said that she left her $50,000 tip with a note that said, "I'm sorry." Lisa's really upset too about Natalie. She's like, "Natalie was getting better, but you guys couldn't leave her alone." Like, she's clearly very upset about Natalie's death. While also being like, Charlotte, because she calls her Charlotte, like, fell, it was an accident. She doesn't think that it was a conspiracy at all. But she does reveal to Misty that Ty met up with Lottie the day that she died. She saw her. She saw them together. And so at the end of the episode, Misty, she gets the DNA results. She doesn't know what to do. So she texts Walter and she's like, "Can you help me with this?" Also texts Ty that they need to talk. Because I think she's going to confront her and be like, "What were you doing?" I love Misty. I love seeing her care that Lottie's dead and try to figure out what's happening. I love Misty. When she gets like defensive of her relationship to the women, I really, like, not to get emotional, but I get the feeling of like wanting, and I'm not saying that she doesn't mean as much to the other, to the women as they mean to her, but I do understand like somebody meaning a lot to you and you maybe not meaning the same thing to them. I don't know if that, maybe you can't quantify it, like, is it equal, is it not, but like there is like a level of discrepancy in their relationship, if that makes sense, of like Misty, what Misty does for them, etc. But every time she gets defensive about like the bond they have and how nobody understands it, it makes me, like, it, I really feel for Misty. I love Misty. I don't get why people say she's, like, scary. Like, yeah, Misty kills people, but, like, not if you're on her good side. I would just be her friend. Misty would never kill me because I would be in her good graces. Okay, moving on to the teen timeline. Natalie brings Coach Ben food, and he is like, "Why are you keeping me alive?" And she's like, "It's giving us hope. I can't kill you." She doesn't want to take away their hope or his hope of going home. And then there's like a really interesting, I really like the scene. There's a time lapse. There's like a compilation. I don't even know the word that I'm thinking of. Sequence. We see Natalie day after day coming, trying to get him to eat. He is progressively getting worse and begging for her to kill him. And I really, really liked this. I liked the subtle ways that you saw Natalie start to get really frustrated by everything. At some point she says "eat" in a really angered tone. Like, there was just, Sophie Thatcher, like, really, really stood out to me this episode. She did such a great job. And I will say, I knew, not like tangibly, as in I have insider information, but like I knew that Coach Ben was gonna die. I found it unlikely that he would survive. Like, I thought he was gonna die last season, and I was surprised, honestly, that he made it to season 3. And when Mari ratted him out and people were like, a lot of people wanted Ben to live, I was like, Ben's gonna die. I never thought that Ben was gonna live. And I will say, as much as I was like, okay, Ben's gonna die, the whole way it happened and everything leading up to it was so powerful and like well done that I really, really appreciated the amount of time it took to get them to kill Ben, or for Ben to die, like the writers to kill Ben, because they don't kill Ben as a group. I'll get there. I really liked that because part of me was like, Ben's gonna die. Obviously, Ben's gonna die. Like, at some point I was like, okay, Ben's gonna die. But the way, I didn't expect, honestly, like, I thought it would be sad, and I thought that I would be like, okay, that's sad, but I didn't expect it to be as powerful for me personally, as somebody who was not particularly attached to Ben. And it was a very, very, I loved this episode. It was like, I'm tearing up thinking about it. I didn't particularly love Ben. Like, it didn't, I've said this many times, I loved Ben as a character because I think he was really, really important. I think if all the adults had died upon impact, it would have been a very different show, a very different dynamic. I think he was always an extremely important person in the dynamic of the show, like, super important character, and like I really appreciated watching him. I just figured he was gonna die. So I wasn't super attached to like him making it through the wilderness. But I will say the way that it happened, and I will also say that I called this weeks ago, which maybe this is obvious, but as soon as like Mari ratted Coach Ben out, I was like, I think they're gonna kill Coach Ben, and it's gonna be the first time they like actively kill somebody, because up until Coach Ben, the deaths in the wilderness have been like the wilderness chose. They haven't violently killed anybody. I was like, I think they're going to execute Coach Ben, and it'll be like a turning point where the cannibalism is no longer like out of necessity, but like more like I think it's going to be more like voluntarily they're gonna like the hunt is going to be more real in a sense. Anyways, let me just get into it. But I really, really loved this scene. She is not killing him, and he's like, I burned the cabin down, and he gives a really emotional appeal to Natalie about like, I wanted to kill you. And Natalie's like, I'm not feeding him anymore. Somebody else will nurse him. She passes it off, which I think it's interesting that she was doing it in the first place. Like, why wouldn't it be Misty? I don't know. I would have liked to see that scene where they decided that she was gonna, maybe she took it upon herself. I don't really know. A very, very brief moment in the teen timeline, Sean and Melissa like interact, and Ty and Van kind of compare their dynamic to Jackie and Shauna. They're like, do you think that Shauna makes Mel wear Jackie's clothes? And then she definitely calls her shipman. Like, there's a lot of Jackie Shauna references, which, you know, good for all the Jackie Shaunas won this episode. Akila and Travis have a little conversation, which I really liked. I really like their dynamic. I love Akila. I'm glad she's getting more. Akila, for all the side characters, I think has had a decent, even before the season, has had a decent amount of backstory. Like Melissa, I don't feel like we knew anything about her. Akila, at least we saw her like studying. She talked about her sister. Like Akila had a decent amount of like backstory. But I really, really like the role she's playing this season, even though it does constantly stress me out. And I'm like, she's going to die in the caves one of these days. But Travis and Akila have a conversation. We find out through this conversation that Akila's been going to the caves a lot with Lottie. And Travis is very clearly skeptical. He's like, are you seeing things? Like, are you... He's worried. I don't think he's starting to really not buy into it. I said weeks ago that I think Lottie telling him that she was medicated and then unmedicated, and that's why she started seeing things, that was a turning point. I think, and this is a prediction of mine, I don't know why I said it like that, I think that Akila's gonna die, and not in the like they're gonna kill her way. I think she's gonna die somehow related to the wilderness or the caves, or like something bad is gonna happen to Akila. And I think that is gonna be the final straw that breaks the camel's back for Travis specifically in believing in the wilderness. Because I've really felt for a while, like since the first two episodes, that Travis by the end of the season was really, and specifically at least by the time they get rescued, was not gonna buy into Lottie's stuff at all. I think Akila's death, if she dies, I don't want her to, but I do think Akila's gonna die. And I think I would be so happy if Akila didn't die, I have to be honest, but I think Akila's gonna die. I'm just preparing myself. And I think if Akila dies, I think that will be kind of like a huge turning point for Travis and his whole outlook on, and he's already starting to, in the conversations he has with Natalie this episode, like you can clearly see he's starting to be skeptical. But I do think something bad's gonna happen that's gonna be like the final turning point, and I do fear that it will be related to Akila, but we'll see. Anyways, he had a conversation with Akila that I really liked. He's starting to worry about the whole wilderness thing. Mari is now feeding Ben, and she notices that he's not eating, and they discuss what to do. Like the group does, Lottie's there, Natalie, Ty, Van, etc., like kind of like the cabinet, if you will. They discuss what to do. They talk about the hope, Akila's visions, etc., etc. Eventually they settle on like force feeding him, which is a horrifying scene. Misty and Natalie have an interesting conversation where Misty's really upset about Ben, about the state Ben's in, and Natalie tries to be like, do you think maybe it was a mistake keeping him alive? And Misty's like, no, absolutely not. Like, don't, I'll handle it. Travis and Natalie have a conversation. He's very much starting to question things. And she's like, weren't you the one who, like, believed in this? Like, I really like that whole dynamic of, like, of Travis's skepticism starting to emerge and Natalie kind of being like, isn't this what you wanted? Like, you believed in this. What are you talking about? I liked that. And I do think ultimately what will bring Travis and Natalie back together is kind of like the grounding back to a common viewpoint on the whole wilderness thing. I don't think we're going to get that at the end of this season. I don't know. I think it really depends on, like, the rescue. I don't want them to get rescued at the end of the season. I don't. And you know what? I don't think they do. I'm putting that out there. It doesn't happen. They don't get rescued this season. Anyways, the force feeding Ben was really, really horrifying. But an interesting aspect of that was that they're masked, similar to the way we see them masked in the opening, in the pilot, when we see flashes to the Pit Girl scene. They're masked. And we see that again in, well, we see this for the first time in terms of chronologically, but we see it again in terms of, like, what we've seen already, which I really liked. I know Shauna, there's somebody who kind of has bunny ear type things, and that was Shauna. I couldn't figure out who was who when I was watching it the first time. When I rewatched it, the person with the bunny ears was wearing a pink jacket, which then Shauna was wearing that pink jacket, so Shauna was, like, the bunny. I don't know if that will be consistent, like, the person who, because there is somebody in the pilot episode for the flash forward who has kind of, like, bunny ear looking, like, mask pulled up. I don't know if that person is meant to be Shauna. I don't know. I have to rewatch that next to each other to see if it feels like those people are meant to be exactly who they are. But I don't know. Anyways, let me keep going. After they force feed Ben, Natalie is obviously really upset. She tells Akilah that she hopes she's sure about whatever she's seeing out there. And Natalie talks to Coach Ben, and it's, like, a really, really, I don't know why, I literally, like, want to cry thinking about Coach Ben. And it's just, I knew he was gonna die. Like, I did. I knew he was gonna die. And it's, and, but it's really sad. And I think it's also something I love discovering shows years after the fact. I really do. There's something so beautiful and special about watching a show while it's airing. And I love the connection that the Yellow, I think part of it is to, like, seeing how everybody reacted to, like, the actors and the fact that they throw funeral parties. I will say, I knew it when I saw some interview, I can't remember, of somebody being like, my favorite funeral party was this season. We got a really funny cake. I knew that it was Coach Ben, and then they got a leg cake. I should have said that on this podcast on record, but, like, I knew that. I thought that in my head, and then it came true. Anyways, but Natalie has a conversation with Coach Ben, and you can just tell at this point that he's done. He's like, please take me, and she's really distraught. This was, I think, the turning point for Natalie. We see Lottie talking to, she's, like, at the tree, and she's, like, begging them to speak to her, to listen to her. I really liked this scene because I think while Lottie does a lot of harm in trying to push the others to connect to the wilderness and having Travis do drugs, having Akilah inhale fumes to connect to this wilderness thing, I really liked this scene because it feels like a tiny bit of insight into, like, Lottie's perspective. And while obviously nothing justifies drugging people or pushing people to do drugs or pushing people, like, I'm not excusing the behavior, I think there's just something really sad about Lottie and the relationship she had to her illness and the visions and then the meaning she found in it and the fact that now she doesn't have the connection to it, and she is so desperately, through other people, trying to connect to this other realm that she no longer has access to because it gave her purpose. This was really sad to me because it's like she so desperately wants to hear it again and she can't. So she's trying to connect to it through the others. I don't know. It made me really sad. I love Lottie. Akilah then decides to go into the caves again, because of what Natalie said has been got in her head. Akilah and Lottie go into the caves. she has like another dream, but this one, it's really not very substantial. There's like a claymation bear. When she comes to, she's like, I don't know what any of it means. And she's clearly really distraught. I will be honest. I do not know what the claymation bear means. I don't have anything intelligent to say about the claymation bear. I enjoyed it. I will say the dream sequences this season are really fun and interesting, and I'm enjoying them a lot. Like, I think a claymation bear seems so random and fun, and I loved it. I will be honest, I loved the claymation bear of it all. I thought that was so fun. So I enjoyed the sequence. For me, it feels... The way I read it was like, it doesn't have a ton of meaning. And that's why, like, I don't think it's, I think it was meant to be somewhat nonsensical. So we would feel the way Akila does, where it's kind of like, I'm at a loss. Like, what the hell is this entity trying to tell me? I don't know. I'm lost. That's the way I read it. But I don't really know if the claymation bear has some kind of meta, or there were other like flashes of them kind of like feasting and stuff, which maybe is connected to the feast at the end of the episode. I don't know. I did enjoy the claymation bear though. That night, Natalie, after her conversation with Ben, is very clearly like stewing and upset, and she goes to kill him. She grabs the knife. Travis is like, what are you doing? They won't forgive you. And she says, I need to do this if nobody else will. And he's like, be quick, the sun is about to come up. And he says he'll stand around to make sure nobody interrupts. And this scene, like, I'm literally gonna cry thinking about it. I knew Coach Ben was gonna die, and I didn't expect myself to get so emotional, but I really just, like, the performance was so good. I think it's just, it's really interesting because obviously the act of killing somebody is like violent and horrible. And I will say, even though I knew he was gonna die, I thought that he was gonna die in a hunt-like scenario. And the way he died was so much worse than that, like emotionally to watch, because it was like, he was happy, he was relieved, he'd been suffering for so long, and he like, why am I crying? It's a fictional character who I knew was gonna die. But I really just, Natalie specifically is one of my favorite characters on the show, and she had such a special relationship with him, and it was just really interesting how this act of violence was in a way an act of love. She did it because she cared about him and she didn't want him to suffer. They were keeping him alive for their sake, not for his. And I don't think they should have, like, tortured him, and they shouldn't have held him hostage in the first place that made him not eat and not want to die, like, not want to live. Obviously, I understand that, like, they treated him poorly to get him into that state in the first place. I'm not saying, like, he just out of nowhere. I get that. It was just really, really, I don't know, it's a very complex dynamic, because it was, she killed him, but she did it, but he was thanking her. And that made it even more sad to watch, because it wasn't like he was scared. He was like thanking her in the end because of how much pain he was in. I don't know why I'm like crying about this. It's fine. And I think it's also, there's something about the fact that she knew that this was gonna get her upset with everybody else. She was going against the group, and in this kind of mob mentality that they all have, that it's very dangerous, and she kept her promise regardless because it was what he needed. I don't know. I'm tearing up thinking about it. What a great actor, great acting, great actress, great scene. Anyways, the sun has come up. Natalie stumbles out of the hut. She wipes blood off of her face. Misty is immediately super upset. Everybody's super upset. We see Misty go and like has a moment with his corpse, and she does kiss him, which is very creepy. I'm not gonna get into that. I don't have the energy to dive into like the, okay, she shouldn't have kissed his dead body. I will say again, she shouldn't have kissed his dead body. I watched an interview with Samantha Hanratty, who plays Teen Misty. And she was like, I know that's going to read as creepy, but like in terms of like, it was a nice moment for me and Steven, the actor who plays Coach Ben, because they had, Misty and Coach Ben had like a lot of scenes together throughout the series. So she was like, it was like a nice final scene for us to, which is nice. At least now when I watch it, I can think about that and like and how the actors experienced it more than like the creepy. I like that. I like that I'll think about it and shift my perspective to think about what that meant for the actors more than the implications. They all get mad at Natalie. Shauna obviously wants to execute her. She doesn't say that, but she's like, she wants to punish her. Ty's like, let's do a trial. Jen pushes Natalie to the floor, which fuck Jen for that, by the way. Like, what are you doing here? Fuck Jen. I had nothing against her. Now she's an enemy of mine. I hope they eat her next. Sorry. They're all mad at Natalie. And before they can say what will happen, Lottie steps in and says that Shauna will lead. Which, if you really think about it, was Lottie protecting Natalie. So Lottie Nat still on top. I am a Lottie Nat truther. Okay. Shauna then in her first decree as their new appointed leader says they'll honor Coach the way they have the others that have passed in the wilderness. And they will give the wilderness what it wants. Misty says, what about Natalie? And Shauna's like, she'll prepare the feast, aka butcher Coach Scott. Which was really, really, this scene was really sad. And also paralleled a scene from season one when they're dismembering Adam Martin's body. Which, you know, there's a lot of like theories about like Walter is connected to X and Y and whatever. Like a lot of people have conspiracies about Walter. He's not just some random guy. Like he has to have some reason that he got so close to Misty. I want to know if Adam Martin was just some random guy. Like I would love randomly like Hilary Swank is somehow related to Adam Martin. I don't know. I don't think that would happen, but I would love like some random like Adam Martin lore just comes back. Because you know what? It makes more sense to me that Adam Martin would pursue that Adam Martin would be in the picture for some ulterior motive more than it just Walter, because Walter just seems kind of like he's quirky. Like he like I believe that Walter is just really interested in Misty and likes the citizen detective bonding that they have together. I don't believe that Walter is somebody's long lost sibling who's back to enact revenge and is somehow connected. I don't believe that. I really don't. I think he's just genuinely interested in Misty. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, so Natalie prepares the feast. Poor Natalie. At the feast, they're eating Coach Ben. R.I.P. Mari and Natalie have like a really nice moment where Mari's like, what you did for Coach Ben was like, and Natalie's like, I know. And they have a nice moment and I liked it. I liked it. Am I a Mari Nat truther? I like Mari. I also like Natalie. Would I be upset if they happened before Lottie and Nat did? A little bit, but you know what? If I'll take what I can get, okay? But I really liked this, though, because I think I really like Mari as a character. I liked the ways that, like, Mari is very much, she has been a lot of the time, very much like a follower. Like, she was very, very, she really bought into Lottie's stuff in season two. And then this season, she was less of a follower. She went against what Shauna wanted, even though Shauna wasn't the leader. But I like seeing these sides of Mari, and I like Mari kind of being, because she could, in theory, like not rock the boat at all and stay away from Natalie because Shauna's in charge now and Shauna doesn't like her. But I liked this moment. I liked this moment of Mari's, of her like acknowledging. And I think it was powerful that it was Mari because Mari and Coach Ben had such an important, their scenes were very important in the beginning of the season of like she did ultimately rat him out, and so it was somewhat her fault that he ended up dying, and I think she had some guilt about that, about like he died, he was tortured because I ratted him out and he wasn't actually like I think there was a level of Mari acknowledging Natalie that did that. A part of it was like, thank you for being kind to him. He didn't do anything wrong. Like, I think there was, like, a level of that as well in Mari's connecting to Natalie. Of, like, they both in different ways, and obviously not to the same extent that Coach Ben and Adelie had, but Coach Ben did look out for Mari at the beginning of the season. And I think this was kind of her way of being like, I saw him the same way you did. Like, you did the right thing. He didn't deserve to suffer. I just really like this. Like, I feel like it wasn't just her admiring Natalie and Natalie's ability to do something that difficult, but also, like, acknowledging her own feelings about Coach Scott and his suffering and his dying. That I really liked. I like Mari as a character. I do not want her to die. Will she? Probably. But I don't want her to die. Like, I really... Like, the thing is, at this point I've accepted that Hillary Swank is probably adult Melissa. I get it. But I really just would prefer Mari live, Akila live. And I get it. They kill off the people that we like the most, okay? But that's annoying to me. And you know what? If you're killing off the people like a lot, kill off Jeff. A lot of people love Jeff. And you know, I'd be fine with Jeff dying. I will say, though, you know what's interesting? In the wilderness, it's mostly been men that die. Like, there were less men than women. And the three well, I guess Ben was in a sacrifice. Also, Jackie died. But still, there were only three men that were alive, and two of them are now dead. Travis is the last man standing. The wilderness is a misandrist. That's not funny. R.I.P. Javi and R.I.P. Coach Ben. Sorry. But it is kind of funny. And like, again, it hasn't happened yet. But, like, let's be fucking for real. They, based off the previews, the male researchers, frog scientists, hikers, bird watchers, whatever they are, the male ones die. I'm like 99% sure that Lottie's gonna kill one of those guys with an axe immediately. You know who sticks around for a little while? Ashley Sutton, the female hiker. I'm just saying, men have a worse time in the wilderness. Anyways, sorry. Lottie is like sitting by herself. She says, this is wrong. This isn't how it's supposed to happen. She screams. We hear the sounds that we heard early on in this season. Then she tells them to sing. They kind of sing, they chant, they start dancing around the fire in a way that was very reminiscent of season two. There was like a very similar aerial shot where the girls were like dancing in the circle around like the fire in a way that really, it was like a very similar shot to season two when it starts snowing and they're at Lottie's compound. They all kind of start dancing in kind of a very, very similar way. So that was something I had in my mind. Then Lottie sees someone. She thinks it's Ben. Then two outsiders approach. And the episode ends with one of the men's, well, we only see a man and a woman, but apparently there's two men and a woman. The man says, what the fuck, and that's how the episode ends. An interesting thing about the sequence of events, Lottie sees somebody first, thinks it's Ben. Then Travis and Akila seem to be the next two to notice the group of people. Lottie screams, and that's kind of more when they turn. She screams no, and the rest of them kind of turn and stare in awe. The guy says, what the fuck? We see Lottie start to, like, walk off, which is why I think Courtney Eden says something about an axe is one of her favorite spoilers. I'm 99% certain Lottie kills one of them with an axe right away. And you know what? I'll defend her for it. That's how the episode ends. I was surprised. People have been saying, okay, like, the thing is, a lot of people have a lot of theories, and a lot of the times they seem kind of far-fetched. And I did think that there was, like, a possibility of a rescue, but I didn't think it was going to be, like, people stumbled upon them, because that felt unlikely considering the fact that they've hiked, like, all, like, a huge radius, and they never came across any kind of civilization. So I was like, how are people going to reach them? But, like, now, obviously, I'm like, oh, yeah, they could have, this makes a lot of sense. And it especially makes sense that probably the search parties that find them eventually are probably looking for the researchers more than they're looking for the girls. Because at this point, they're probably, they have no idea where they are, probably. They're probably just presumed dead. It makes so much more sense that they'd rescue them like, this feels like a lot, this feels like a very plausible path for rescue. So I'm not, like, surprised, or surprised isn't the right word, but, like, I'm not upset or, like, it makes a lot of sense. Like, I don't think it doesn't make any sense. When I first saw it, I was like, how the hell did these people just walk up to them? It doesn't make any sense. Now that I've read some interviews and they've said that they're frog researchers, and also, like, from the early conceptualizations of the show, apparently these frog researchers were part of, like, the mapping out of the season. I don't know if, like, finding them or, like, somehow connected to, I don't know. But frog researchers, I think, were part of the conceptualization of the rescue eventually for a while. So I'm not upset at it at all. And I really like the idea of the frog researchers being, one, what leads to them being rescued, because I think that makes a lot more sense than just, oh, randomly they get rescued. They, like, they've been out here for, like, over a year and they've tried so hard to find civilization. How would they just stumble upon them now? I think it makes a lot of sense that they maybe were, like, dropped off in a remote part of, like, the wilderness to do research for, like, maybe 6 months remotely. And then when they don't come back, then they're like, shit, we gotta go find them. And that's how they stumble upon the girls. I think that makes a lot of sense. So I don't know. I'm excited to see how it all happens. I am excited that the blackmail will hopefully be somehow connected to that. I don't know what Hillary Swank, because at this point, I'm not starting to feel like she's connected to it. Is she blackmailing them? Is she not? I mean, I don't know. Because in the previews for the next episode, Shauna says, like, Van and Ty are like, what are you going to do with this woman? She's like, I'm going to have a conversation with her. Is the woman Hillary Swank? And if she is she Miss Melissa? Is she not? If she is Melissa, why is she blackmailing them with the tape? And if she is adult Melissa, but she has nothing to do with tape, I don't know. I have a lot of questions. I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm feeling a lot better about the season. Am I still mad that they killed Lottie off? Of course I am. I'll never forgive them for that. But I'm enjoying where the plot's going. And I'm enjoying it. I'm letting it happen. And I love the show. I will be honest. I talked for over an hour and I don't anticipate cutting this down. I think it'll probably, with the editing, it'll probably be down like to an hour, maybe a little bit over an hour. I don't anticipate this, me cutting this down so much that it will, I think it'll probably be like an hour. I don't think the episode's too short, so I'm not gonna say anything about The Bachelor. I'll share my thoughts after the finale next week, and the School Spirits deep dive on season 2 is in the works. I'm trying not to rush myself with it, so I'm focusing on my regular releases, like, including, like, this one's going to be out Wednesday, and I'll have another one out next Wednesday, but I'm working on that one in any spare time I have to hopefully get it out. Like, there'll be 1 week where it'll be 2 episodes a week, and that one will be out, and it'll be a little bit longer because it's going to be a deep dive on School Spirit season 2. If you have any recommendations for shows you want me to do deep dives on, please let me know. I'm doing this one truly because my sister asked me for it. So I'm open to all recommendations. Thanks so much for tuning in. It means a lot. You'll hear from me next Wednesday, maybe Thursday at the latest if the episode takes me too long. But I really think I'm in a good groove now. I think I'll have episodes out every Wednesday until Yellow Jackets is over, and then I'll figure out which show I'm doing then, etc. But for now, new episodes every Wednesday. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you have a great week. Follow me wherever you listen to podcasts, and also all my social media is linked down below. And hope you have a great week. Thanks so much for tuning in. Buzz, buzz, buzz.